wisdom which comes from above does not make such distinctions. It's impartial, it's without prejudice, it is just and fair, it is proper.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
All of us probably know people who are very intelligent, very learned, perhaps even geniuses, and yet who seemingly are incapable of carrying out even the simplest tasks of life. They can run computers, perhaps, but they cannot manage their own lives. So Solomon could say in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which carries that very heavy theme of wisdom all through it, Solomon could say, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Man's knowledge enables him to unlock the secrets of the universe, but he lacks the wisdom. He has the knowledge to unlock the secrets of the universe, but he lacks the wisdom to know what to do with those secrets once he has unlocked them. Almost everything he devises and discovers with his knowledge has a way of turning against him because he does not possess the moral character, and wisdom has a definite relationship to moral and spiritual character, more than intellectual acuteness. I believe that James gives, and there are many ways of looking at this passage, but I believe that James gives two significant insights regarding this precious commodity we call wisdom in this passage. He gives two significant insights in James, the third chapter, in verses 13 to 18. The first thing I see here is the proof of true wisdom. That's the inquiry. He asks a very pointed question. Who is a wise man? That's his inquiry. Then he gives us an insight regarding the answer to that question. James asks the question. That's the inquiry. Then he gives us an insight. He gives us an answer to the question. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness, the kind of meekness that grows out of wisdom. If he's truly wise, and if he's really an expert, then he will demonstrate it on a practical basis in his life. In fact, James says he'll exhibit two things. He must, number one, exhibit right deeds. Number two, he must exhibit a right disposition or attitude toward life. Do you notice? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom, or the kind of meekness that grows out of wisdom. Meekness is the natural accompaniment of wisdom, James says. Where there is no meekness, there is no wisdom. Now, James says, I want you to understand this subject a little more precisely. So he goes from the proof of true wisdom to the properties of two wisdoms. And he analyzes for us and contrasts in the space of four or five verses the true and the false wisdom, the human and the heavenly wisdom, the divine and the diabolical wisdom, the characteristics, the marks of these two wisdom. The marks of false wisdom are given in verse 14, and they're threefold. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, as I look at that verse, those are the marks of false wisdom, man's wisdom, human wisdom. Whenever you have false wisdom, you have at least these three marks. Number one, there is discontent, bitter envying. Not only is there discontent as a mark of false wisdom, there's also discord, strife. Erethea is the Greek word. It's the word that describes the party spirit. And then there's a third mark of false wisdom. Not only discontent and disorder, but finally deceit. That's why James says here, glory not and lie not against the truth. There's always deceit attached to false wisdom. But then he gives the marks of the true wisdom in verse 17. Do you notice there in verse 17 the marks of the true wisdom? James says, number one, it's pure. The wisdom which comes from above is first pure. And that word first is important. It means as a controlling and regulating principle. First means that purity is foundational to all the rest. It is the primary and the controlling principle, not a stage that you begin with and then leave behind. The world is full of things that are soiled and smutty. The world is full of things that are filthy and dirty, but the wisdom which comes from God is free of those defilements. And I think contextually it means that the wisdom that comes from above is never discontented, it's never sowing discord, and it never stoops to deceit. Those are the marks of false wisdom. He says it's pure, then he says it's peaceable. First he says it's pure, then he says it is peaceable. First it is pure, then peaceable. That word peaceable means joined or woven together. Do we, through our lifestyle, what we say and what we do and the way in which we do it, do we bring men closer to God and closer to one another? That's true wisdom. That's what it means to be peaceable. And then number three, James says it's patient. That's the meaning of that word gentle, by the way. That word gentle is epiakes in the Greek New Testament. That's probably the most untranslatable word in the whole Greek New Testament. This is a word which, according to the lexicons and the language experts, this is a word which means sweet reasonableness. It means gentle mercifulness. It means patient forgiveness. That's the meaning of the word, epiakes. Number four, I want you to see it's pliable. The true wisdom is pliable. It's easy to be entreated. Now, I don't mean in any compromising sense here. This word can mean two things, ever ready to obey. That's always the hallmark of true wisdom. And then ever ready to be persuaded. That's what wisdom means. That's wisdom. And then he says it's passionate. Number five, it's passionate. It's full of mercy and of good fruits. Jesus could say, be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Luke 6:36. Mercy is something that lodges in the heart, but expresses itself in the hand. The desire to help in the heart becomes the deed of help in the hand. An ideal is never really ours until it comes out of our fingertips. Ideally, we want to be merciful. We say we're full of mercy, then there will always be good fruits, and they'll be evident. You'll be able to see them. That's wisdom. It's passionate. It's compassionate toward those in deep and desperate needs, and it manifests itself in good fruits. And then James says it's proper. In the technical sense of the term, it's proper, it's upright, it's just, it's fair, it's equitable in its dealing with men. It's without partiality. The Greek word means not making distinctions. When rich men came into the fellowships to whom James was writing, they made distinctions. They said to the rich men, here, you sit up here in the prominent places. To the poor men, here, you sit back there. If they came much beringed and in beautiful raiment, they said, come, sit here in the prominent position. If they were poor, they said, sit back there. We're not interested in you. He says that in James 2, verses 1 to 5. James says that's not the true wisdom. The wisdom which comes from above does not make such distinctions. It's impartial. It's without prejudice. It is just and fair. It is proper. In dealing with others, true wisdom never succumbs to the selfish favoritism which James has already condemned. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, it is unswervingly loyal to God and His principles, and it is unconditionally committed to meeting the needs of all kinds of people, not just those who will prosper us. Unconditionally committed to meeting the needs of all kinds of people, not just those who will prosper us. He says it's proper, just, fair, and equitable, without partiality in dealing with others. And finally, he says it's plumb. You say, what do you mean plumb? I'm using that in a metaphorical sense, in the same way that Amos used it in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 7 and verse 8. He used it metaphorically. To be plumb means to be true or genuine. A carpenter knows what it means to be plumb. A mason knows when something is plumb or level. It means to be true or genuine. Without hypocrisy. True wisdom is sincere, it is genuine, it is unpretentious, it is not a pose, it does not deal in deception, it never pretends to be what it is not, it never acts out the part in order to gain its own ends. True wisdom never does that. It's without hypocrisy, it's plumb. Do you notice the sequel, the outcome of these two wisdoms? In verse 16, the harvest of worldly wisdom, do you see it in verse 16? The harvest of worldly wisdom is convulsive, irrational, instability, and disorder. It's called confusion. The Greek word means convulsive disharmony. Confusion. And that's followed by all other kinds of evil and satanic influence. Every evil work, wherever you find false wisdom, James says, you also find these other ugly ingredients. Confusion in every evil work. And the harvest of heavenly wisdom is in verse 18, an abundance of righteousness and peace due to the wise activity and sowing of the peacemakers. So what does James say? I'm going to close now. What does James say? James says this. He says, the proof of true wisdom. Does a man say, I'm wise? Don't listen to what he says. Look at what he does. The proof of true wisdom is not what a man knows or says, but what he does. a good life, issuing in good works, and not only by what he does, but also by how he does it. Does he have a spirit of meekness and humility as he does it? Is he emotionally, verbally, and morally under control and restrained? That's wisdom. That's the proof of true wisdom. And then, after that, James unfolds the properties of two wisdoms, heavens and hells. And he says, the one bears the marks of discontent, disorder, and deceit. And so you and I have to ask ourselves, is there any taint of those kinds of things in my life? Discontent, disorder, and deceit. And then he says, the other has seven powerful marks. The true wisdom, the wisdom that comes down from heaven. He says, number one, it's pure. And so God says, are you clean? Are you pure inwardly and outwardly by the grace of God in your thought life and in your behavioral patterns? Are you clean? The wisdom that comes from above is pure. And then he says it's peaceable. James says, do you draw people closer to one another and closer to God, or do you create contexts of hostility, division, and hatred? It's peaceable. It draws people closer to one another and closer to God. And then he says it's patient, and he means by that, can you forgive those who have offended you? Or do you always insist upon your rights? He violated the law, and here's the precise penalty, and I'm going to see that he pays it. On occasion, it's appropriate that he pay it. On occasion, like in the case with Joseph and David, there was the place to say, I forgive you. I won't insist upon my rights. I could condemn you. I won't do it. That is wisdom. And then number four, he says it's pliable. You can approach it. You can talk with it. It's willing to listen to reason, so long as the truth is honored. Are you approachable, James says? Are you willing at least to listen and to be kind and gracious as you do it? And then he says it's passionate. It's full of mercy and good deeds. Is there a compassion for the suffering in your life and mine, which issues in ministry to them, the kind of ideal which comes out of our fingertips? Then he says it's proper. And he would ask us, are we unconditionally committed to meeting the needs of all kinds of people, or just those who will prosper us? Do we show ourselves friendly and gracious and kind to everybody in need, or just those who fit into our own little mold, our own little clique, our own little group, or those who will prosper us? And then finally, he says, it's plumb. It's true. It's genuine. It's without hypocrisy. And so he says, is there a genuineness to your Christian profession? Or are you just simply playing out the part? Now, these are probing questions. Paul said, Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. Do you want this wisdom? It comes from Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. Do you know that Christ? If you do, are the marks of true wisdom practically being integrated into your life and mine?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
In fact, the world and the flesh and the devil are all too strong for Christians if we were made to face them alone. But we don't face them alone. God is for us.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.